Now, we were talking about the miserable man in Romans 7. Maybe a brother would read for us the first seven verses to start. Just a volunteer somewhere. Chapter 7.
Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Okay. Someone was mentioning the other day that there were Jews here. I think this is a perfect illustration because Paul says, I speak to them that know the law. Who were they? Well, if you go back to Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, you find then in those first chapters when you have this long listing of all of those countries that were represented, I find there Rome is mentioned, or cities. I find Rome is mentioned in that list. Here, I speak to them that know the law. That especially would be a Jewish person. Someone's going to say, well, I don't understand what this has to do with me then. Because I'm a Christian, I've never been under the law. Now, I'm going to step out a little bit on a limb, and my brethren are going to help me if I'm understanding this wrong. But I believe that when I study this relationship to the law itself, even though I, as a Gentile, am not under the law, I can, and do, put myself under that very same principle. How many of us have said, I'm going to do better? I know that I've done bad, but I'm going to do better tomorrow. That's the principle of the law. Now, he says here, this is not teaching about marriage. If I want teaching about marriage, I go to the books that teach me about marriage. But he's going to use marriage as an example to show us the relationship of the believer in Jesus Christ to the Mosaic law. My brethren think I'm on good ground on that. John?
Maybe I could just add, or using another example. A year ago, we moved into a new house out in the country. Okay, our water supply is a well. Before we could close on the deal, we had to do a water test of the well. So we took several samples of water from the well, okay, to test whether or not the water in the well was good or bad. It was good to drink. But think of this. That test of water, that small amount of water, gave the results for the whole. Okay? The Jewish people, God's chosen people on this earth, were really, you could say, a test for all of humanity, all peoples. Okay? And that's how see, he's proving through the Jews, God's chosen people, and the giving of the law, that when they said, everything that you say to us, we will do, it just went to prove that man was utterly helpless to do in his own strength God's will.
Now, I think it's important. Early on, and Emil, I'm waiting for you to help us, and Paul, David, it's early on important to see which man. We looked at two men. We looked at Adam and his whole race. Then we looked at Christ. We looked at the Lord Jesus and we saw this new race. Which man did the law apply to? Did it apply to man as a child of Adam, or does it, as some Christians would teach you today, does it apply to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, part of that new race, now trying to keep or attain righteousness in this scene in his life by this old set of principles? We need to determine that. I'm going to read these verses again, and I just listen very carefully. Here is a woman. She has a husband. What is true of her? She is bound. She is bound how? She is bound by the law. Who is she bound to? Read these verses. She is bound to her husband. Ask the question, well, how long is she bound to him? She's bound to him so long as he liveth. I'm going to make a point for the King James translation again. I know it's not perfect, but young people, it portrays the truth of God to you and I in a language that we can easily understand. I'm not suggesting that you don't use a JND, but every once in a while you hear people say, I don't understand what the Word of God is teaching. She's bound so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, here's a terrible thing happens. She was married. They had a happy life. They may have had kids. Then along comes death and knocks on the door. The husband dies. Well, what is true of her? She is loosed from the law of her husband. Now, this is an example that the Spirit of God is going to use, not to teach me about marriage again, but to teach me about my relationship with the law. Emil, Paul?
So the claim of the law ended at death. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we said we're looking at two masters in chapter 6. We might say today, in this chapter, we have two husbands. Mm-hmm. We have the law on the one hand, and on the other hand, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told in verse 4 that we are married to another. The law and its claims ended when the Lord Jesus died on the cross. So in his death, burial, and resurrection, we have been liberated, no longer held. We have that expression in verse 6. Being dead, in which we were held. Verse 5, we were in the flesh. We're no longer held. We're no longer in the flesh. Because of the work that the Lord Jesus did for us.
Well,